Boy, we have been having an awesome morning of worship already. From our Scout Sunday to all of the special activities, our noisy offering supporting Baldwin Center, our mission moments, our choir, and all of you being here this morning. You are a sign of being God's light. I want to share with you the scripture from Matthew chapter 5. It kind of continues in the Sermon on the Mount. These are Jesus' next words to the crowd after he's completed sharing with them the Beatitudes. He says these words to the crowd gathered as Matthew recorded this message. He says these words to us this morning. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who is the master artist. Amen. It would be really cool this morning for me to sit by the harpsichord and play and just preach while I'm playing the harpsichord. But I don't play the harpsichord. So I'm going to leave it right here untouched at this point. But I want to share with you three quotes that I was looking at this week about the power of art. Because I think art fits in this morning with this passage and with Scout Sunday. I think it all, at least in my mind, it all seemed to fit together this morning. So let me share. The first is from David Levitin, who wrote, "The power of art is that it can connect us to one another and to larger truths about what it means to be alive and what it means to be human." Ossie Davis said, "Any form of art is a form of power. It has impact. It can affect change. It can not only move us, it makes us move." And then Toni Morrison once wrote, "Your life is already artful, waiting, just waiting for you to make it art." I think that's the key of this passage, of what Jesus is saying to these followers or these who have gathered around him, maybe by the Sea of Galilee or any other places through Israel and Palestine where Jesus would have been preaching this message. Let me give you a quick context. These people are used to hearing something that may not sound so unusual. They're used to hearing this: "You're the problem." Now that sounds so antiquated, right? Nobody says that anymore, right? "You're the problem." No, it's not us. It's really you. You really are the problem. The scribes and Pharisees understood that keeping the law, honoring God fully, would help the Messiah to return, would hasten the return of the Messiah. And so part of the pressure that the religious leaders, the pastors of the day, put upon these people was this: when you mess up, that means it's just going to take God even longer to return. So you really are the problem. The minute you make a mistake, God takes a step back. Imagine laying that load upon people. Now, 2,000 years later, we do the same thing in a lot of different ways, don't we? Sometimes we'll do it religiously. You don't want God angry with you, because you know what happens when God is angry. We hear that. We hear that politically. We hear that about any particular cause in the world. We hear that same kind of guilt trip, that you're the reason why things aren't better. And notice, typically the person who's saying it typically doesn't say that they're also part of the problem. They have the burden of telling you that you're the problem, right? Isn't that how it goes a lot? Isn't that kind of how it feels sometimes? It's not me, it's you. kind of thing. Well, that's what these people who have gathered to hear Jesus, that's what they're used to hearing. They're used to hearing that there's something wrong with them, that they are artless, that they are not masterpieces, that they are not gifts, that they are not persons with lives full of potential for shining the light of good around them or for being that kind of salt that adds zest to the life. They never hear the words that they indeed are masterpieces, that they were created by a loving God who sees in them eminent worth, loves them fully and completely, but also loves the potential of who they are becoming as they fully identify with who they are and live out the fullness of their lives. That's why this message is so radical 2,000 years ago, and actually 2,000 years later, it's still kind of radical as well. Jesus is inviting this crowd to see themselves in a way that they had never seen themselves before. Not as part of the problem, but as part of the solution, part of the healing, part of the ground of hope that would lift up not only themselves, but the community, their family around them. They are, as Toni Morrison said, they are discovering that the art is within them. They are discovering that potential and that possibility. And so imagine all your life, if all you heard is what's wrong with you, you're all of a sudden sitting there or standing there listening to this person telling you that you're salt, that you add zest to the world around you. See, Jesus uses the imagery of salt, and I wish I had a salt shaker. I thought about it, but then I thought it makes me think too much the battery scene in the Matrix movie from a few years ago. So I didn't want to say that all in all, we're just salt. But Jesus is your salt, and we're salt for this reason, which is so key for the church in the 21st century as well. We're not salt for the sake of salt. We're salt for everything around us. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of this passage, talks about bringing forth the colors of life around us, bringing out the zest in life around us. Part of what our call is, followers of Jesus Christ, is to do is simply to make the lives of those around us better, to be part of what makes their lives better, creating around us an opportunity for those in our community of family, friends, strangers, and neighbors to live better, to be able to take that step of wholeness maybe within their lives, of healing, of encouragement. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying to these people, not only are you a gift by being salt and light, but you are to be a gift to others. Behind these words is what we hear about 17 chapters later in the Gospel of Matthew. It's the greatest commandment. Love God completely with your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. When we are salt, when we see ourselves as salt, when we see ourselves as light, we recognize that in loving God completely, we share that salt with those around us. And we share that light with those around us as well. It's not for us to grasp and contain and hold on to and say, it's just for me, it's not for you. Instead, it is to be shared freely, willingly, and openly with everyone around us. That's the power of this passage that Jesus is saying to this crowd. And as I read that this week and thought about it and prayed about it, I was struck by how much that also could be said about art. The power of art adds zest to our lives. A great painting, a great piece of music, great food, right? Amen. Any form of art, dance, adds zest to our life. It creates us, a moment in us to interpret it, to think about it, to feel it, embrace it. But then we share it. When we've experienced an amazing moment with art, we just have to tell somebody else about it. We can't keep it to ourselves. We have to extend our experience to someone else because we want them to experience what we experienced. The picture that took our breath away. The food that we continue to taste the minute we think about it. The music that stirred our souls, the dance, or the choreography that just left us speechless because of the physical ability and agility in order for it to happen. We're awed in those moments, right? In those moments, we are experiencing a glimpse of God's artistry through humanity. We're getting a glimpse of what's behind all this amazing art that we experience in our lives. It's the God of salt. It's the God of light. It's the God who invites us as Toni Morrison said, to live artfully, or maybe art-filled lives as well, and giving those around us the opportunity to live that way as well. See, Jesus is inviting them into community. He's inviting them into a life of faith that is not to earn points with God. Instead, it's to be a reflection of the grace and love of God at work in their lives. He's already orienting themselves to this amazing redefinition of faith, which is, I don't believe so that I'm safe. I believe and I live so that others may live as well. It's not just that vertical relationship with God, as Andy Stanley would say in his book, Irresistible. It's the key of that horizontal relationship. Our faith is most evident in how we treat those around us. And Jesus says, for salt and light, help others to live well. He says we can help release and unleash the art that is in everyone around us. And so that's what we're called to do. That's why we're doing Art Fest this morning. It's why we're gathering on this beautiful, sunny, non-snowy morning here in Michigan. We know there might be some snow later. But we want to be amazed at the gift of art, because we give praise to the maker of all art, to the master creator of this universe, who enjoys creating and enjoys seeing expressions of creation through each one of us, you and me, and those who are here this day. We have the privilege as members of this church to be salt and light to our guests this morning, extending a warm welcome, hospitality, helping them know where the important things are, like the bathrooms, you know? But helping people to feel how we embrace this space, this campus, is our spiritual home. How we can offer others that same opportunity to say that you are home here. And our scouts know that this place is home because this is where they meet. That's why it's so awesome this morning that we could celebrate Scout Sunday, is that this is already home. It's home on their journey of scouting and the privilege we have to partner with our scouts. I'm grateful for Reverend Grimmett and his leadership of that, and Russ Wagelin and his many years of leadership as our charter representative, and what that means to helping these young men and women grow in an understanding that they are salt and light even now, as they help bring out the colors of the world around them, as they help add zest to the world around them by how they care for the environment, how they care for each other and this community, and how they grow. Jesus says you can't hide that light under a bushel. And he's talking about a flame at this point, friends. He's not talking about just putting a flashlight over a box. That's easy. Nobody would be upset about that, right? But he's saying you can't take that lamp that you have lit and keep it underneath the bushel. You can't hide it for two reasons. One is you don't want the bushel to catch fire, ruin your house. But also, light's not to be hidden. Light is there to shine so that others can see it, others can enjoy it, that others would shine as well. So this week, think about the ways that you will be improving the lives of the people around you. Think about the ways of your loved ones, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, of how you can be salt in their lives. How can you add zest in a good way to their lives? Not in a surprising way, not salt in the wound. I'm not talking about that. But how can you enliven their lives? Or think about yourselves as light. How can you shine your light in a way that helps the people around you to live more fully, to be the works of art that God already knows they are, and to let them show that artistry within them as well? Help them feel more welcomed. Help them feel more loved. Help them feel more included. Help them be more welcomed for exactly who God has made them to be. Let's be salt and let's be light, not only the today and this morning, but into the week to come. Let that be our faith redefined. Let that be our witness revealed to the world around us. Because God is at work. And God looks around each one of us, and God sees beautiful masterpieces. God sees salt, and God sees light, and God sees the good that you will do to share this love of God. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we thank you that you invite us, you call us, you challenge us to be salt and light, You invite us to see our faith in relationship with those around us, not only with you, but with you and the world, aware of how we, as we interact with our neighbors, Lord, we become your witnesses. So God, help us. Help us to add zest to the persons around us, to their lives. Help us to shine light, Lord, where we can help others to walk in healthy ways, other ways, Lord, that they will feel loved and affirmed. God, we thank you that you encourage us to see ourselves as part of the solution, part of what will improve our community even now. Be with us, God, in this important work, because it's our faith, and it's how you've called us to live. In your holy name we pray. Amen.